came across an article on IOL not so long ago talking about the fact that truth comes with a heavy price for whistleblowers in today's South Africa. And they go on to detail a really awful case of a gentleman being killed in front of his family, all because he was a whistleblower. And to examine that issue in more detail this afternoon is Liesel Groenewald, the co-founding director of the Whistleblower House and senior manager at the Ethics Institute. Liesel, thanks so much for chatting to me on FM this afternoon.
Good afternoon, Simon, and everyone on listening in. Thanks, it's a pleasure being here. I just left that MCP, a bit of an old CV, no longer the senior manager at the Ethics Institute, but the CEO.
Okay,
Just so I had some
noted.
promotion.
Good. Obviously knows. Then even better, then I'm 100% certain we're talking to the right person. Liesel, before we get into the contents of the article, which are distressing, and we'll look at those in more detail in a moment, just talk to me about the Whistleblower House. What is it? Why does it exist? What does it do?
The Whistleblower House is a not-for-profit company, and we rely completely on donor funding. But we approach the protection of whistleblowers and assistance to whistleblowers holistically. So we facilitate access to whistleblowers, to legal services, to security services, to psychological services. And then we need a reason. Like some financial assistance to them. So a whistleblower can come to us and say that they want, or a person who wants to blow the whistle can come to us and say, I want to blow the whistle. What should I do? And then we can refer them to a legal person who will then advise them on how to blow the whistle correctly, how to make a protective disclosure, or otherwise assist them with cases where they have to now defend themselves against their former employer. And then, of course, we know that whistleblowers have quite a lot of post-traumatic stress. So therefore, the
We're going to
psychological
get into
services
that. We're
to
going
them.
to get into
Oh, great.
that aspect of it in a little more detail in just a
Sure.
moment. I just want you to set the scene as to, what is this institution and what does it do? So if I turn to the article for a moment, the article from IOL stated that whistleblowing in South Africa is the single most dangerous act that a citizen can commit. And I'm just wondering, from your experience, does this reflect the reality that whistleblowers face in South Africa?
One of the things definitely is that whistleblowers face retaliation. That is given.
Liesel, we've got an absolutely awful line. I'm probably hearing every third word that you are saying. So I think what I'm going to ask Craig in the studio to do is to drop the line and to reconnect with you, and then hopefully we will improve the quality of the conversation somewhat. I've said this a couple of times. Everybody says technology is magnificent, and it is up until the point at which it isn't. And unfortunately, it seems like we are experiencing exactly that today. Liesel, are you back with me? Here's hoping the line is somewhat clearer this time round.
I am. I hope that it is clearer.
Oh, that is much better now. It sounds like you're sitting next to me. All right, so then it's probably worth my repeating that question that I just asked you, which was, the article describes whistleblowing in South Africa as the single most dangerous act that a citizen can commit. And I asked you whether, from your experience at the Whistleblower House, does this reflect the reality that whistleblowers face on a daily basis in South Africa?
From a victimization or retaliation point of view, it is definitely the most dangerous thing that a person face or a whistleblower face. But it does not mean that all whistleblowers face retaliation in the sense of physical threats to their lives. And what it depends very much on what the person is blowing the whistle on. So at the Whistleblower House, for instance, we are currently assisting over 400 whistleblowers. But some of those whistleblowers have blown the whistle on internal corruption or internal mismanagement, and their lives are not necessarily in danger. They do face retaliation in that many of them are dismissed and so on. But not everyone experiences safety issues. So one needs to look at the nature and the extent of the misconduct that is being reported on. And if we think of the whistleblowers that have been assassinated and then witness D now, the latest, unfortunately, and we think of Babita Deokaran and we think of Moses Palkwe from many years ago, that was all connected to law enforcement being involved or government officials or ministers involved in large-scale corruption or unethical conduct. And in these cases, for example, it seems as if, syndicates were involved in the misconduct or the criminal activities. And I think that is where the danger comes in. So yes, there is, if one blows the whistle on that large scale kind of unethical and criminal activities, there's definitely a huge risk.
Interesting you raised the issue about SAPS, the South African Police Service, because the article went on to criticize really very, very strongly the South African police force. They allege it's disintegrating from the inside out. And if you are relying on them to protect you, it seems like you are very much on shaky ground. I mean, if you enter a witness protection program, I'm presuming it's SAPS, who's the organization tasked with your protection. It doesn't seem like they're able to deliver. It almost seems like we've crossed a threshold somewhere and moved into the space of sort of a mafia state.
Oh, Simon, I tend to agree with you. If one thinks there are two things I want to mention. I'm not au fait exactly what the Office of the Witness Protection, their capabilities and capacity. But if we think of Witness D, he declined to be protected. Okay, so that's go into witness protection. But then I want to also mention what the Minister of Justice stated, I think it's 2 days ago, where she said that the SIU, and that is true, the SIU has entered into a memorandum of understanding with the Whistleblower House. And the reason for that is so that the Whistleblower House can actually provide protection to their witnesses and their whistleblowers. And I think that, we know the SIU is really one of the elite investigative law enforcement agency that we have. And with Andy Mtibe there, things have been going really well. But that tells me, that even they don't trust the Office of Witness Protection.
If you could recommend then one immediate reform to strengthen whistleblower protection, what would that step be?
One immediate reform should be with the Protected Disclosures Act, that protection extends beyond mere occupational debt or protection against occupational detriment. Okay, that's the one thing. So it needs to include a measure to protect the whistleblowers physically and their families, where required. Then the other one is that when we look at the Witness Protection Act, it currently says that if a witness feels unsafe, they can apply for witness protection, by reporting their safety concerns, etc., to the police. And it also says that if a witness is not able to make such a report, the interested functionary, and that would be, for example, the head of a commission, can make a report and request witness protection. And then they can also, the head of the commission can also order that a witness be placed under protection. But this is not, it doesn't seem to be enforced. So if that's the one thing I will do, is that making sure that that is enforced, so that in a, for example, in a commission, that a witness be compelled to go under witness protection.
Liesl, final question for you. I'm just noticing the time, and we don't have any more time. So final question for you this afternoon. What message would you give to ordinary citizens who may witness corruption but fear the consequences of speaking out?
All right. I would say if we didn't have whistleblowers, we wouldn't have known about state capture, point number one. If we don't have whistleblowers, corruption will continue and continue in the country. And that, of course, we pay heavily for that. And the poorest of the poor pays the most for it. So my message is, yes, there are dangers in blowing the whistle. I am a strong believer in the fact that one can protect yourself, in that it's all to do with the way one blows the whistle. And then, of course, reach out for help. Reach out to the whistleblower house, for example, and we can assist, so that when you blow the whistle, you are not on your own, and that there's proper protection against all forms of retaliation.
Liesl Groenewald, thank you for your input this afternoon. Very valuable indeed.